Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of goodies coming up. It was almost a good thing we didn't get to the NIL and the transfer portal stuff yesterday, because it comes out that now there's going to be some people trying to do something about it. Is the cat too far out of the bag? Is the genie out of the bottle? What can happen? And here's the question. Which one is really the bigger issue, NIL or the transfer portal? Or do they go hand in hand? I don't think they do. I think one is a way bigger problem than the other. But there is some talk of some meetings and trying to figure out how to try to police this. So we'll see. Elk City baseball coach Jay McClure will be here in here about 9:30. Get his thoughts on his team this season. Also look ahead to the regional that starts tomorrow right here at Ackley Park. We'll have it for you. 11 o'clock, the Elks and Mount St. Mary's, BigElkTV.com. Also recap what all happened yesterday and look forward to tomorrow with the spring sports soccer. Yesterday we've got slow pitch state tournament results in the smaller schools. Girls golf, we had a guy we talked for about 20 minutes yesterday about what might happen. And then, 5 minutes after the show, we figured out what's going to happen. So that was a little bit – the timing wasn't quite right for us there yesterday. And then, of course, the regional and the state baseball that starts tomorrow, hopefully all across Oklahoma. That's what we've got on our plate. But before we get to the normal spiel, Jared.
Yes.
May the 4th be with you.
May the – I thought I had the shirt on. No. I actually had a shirt on earlier, but it didn't match. Yes, may the 4th be with you. Have you seen the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer?
I just saw it.
It's like the second one, but that looks exciting.
I just saw it.
I geeked out seeing that. That looks exciting. It's always a special day. You know, I saw a thing that said, why does Star Wars get a day? Now it should be a full month because of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And they say this is the way. This is the May. Yes. How was your evening? How was your longer than expected trip to Chicago? Chickasha.
We'll tell you in just a second. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about anything that's on your mind. Feel free to fire questions at Jay. That'll be fun. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. KADSAM.com is one of those. Paragon app is the other. The app's got it all. Three radio stations. The Penny News, brand new edition of that Penny News, hit the website last night at midnight. ThePennyNews.com, the fresh deals in this week's Penny News. Print edition will start filtering out in some places this afternoon, everywhere by tomorrow. So check that out on ThePennyNews.com. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV mentioned. Big Elk TV will have baseball regionals tomorrow. It'll have some golf updates. It'll have the girls' soccer game, which we'll get to why there's a girls' soccer game tomorrow all day long. So download that. It's a free app. You might as well have it. And then if anything goes wrong, like, for instance, 98.1 right now, it's having a little trouble, you can just fire on the app through listen to us online through the app. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast. Find it on iTunes. You can find it on KADSAM.com. Miss the show entirely and go back here. Yeah, I was at Chickasha. Interesting. The boys' soccer playoffs got started the day before a lot of places, but because of the impending weather down at Chickasha on Tuesday night, the game started, or was scheduled to start at 3 o'clock Wednesday. In about 10 minutes till, I was just about to push the stream button, like go on air. The PA guy says, attention, fans, this game won't start till 4. Like, what? And apparently the officials had car trouble. And so the wait began, but it finally, it started about 3:45. a scoreless draw through the first 80 minutes of regulation. Then the two 10-minute overtime periods, also a draw, led to the penalty kick shootout. And unfortunately for the Elks, first two guys missed. Chickasha didn't miss in four tries. And so Chickasha knocked out the Elks 4-2 in a shootout. 0-0 was the score. Elk City in 6-9 on the season. With the way the game went, I think that, you know, you can kind of see some strategy that, as novice a soccer guy as I am, it felt like the Elks were really kind of trying to get to where they got. Put as much defense back. If you can get a breakaway, you know, maybe you sneak a goal, and they almost did. Joseph Cloud got past the defense, kind of tiptoed down the end line, created an angle, and lifted it just over the goals. The goalkeeper went low. He went high with this kind of a soft one, trying to just kind of drop it in over him. And it was just barely, nicked the crossbar, like, going over. And so that you could see that being the strategy. I think, you know, just from me watching, Chickasha was better than Elk City was from a – as far as just controlling the –
like
the possession.
Like a time of possession.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the, you know, they're had a couple of really good players in the midfield with Wes Mantooth – or, no, Quentin Mantooth. And also, what's his name? Zane Zidov was another guy that
– now, that sounds like a soccer name.
Kind of controlled the pace there and really possessed the ball and had the better chances throughout. But, you know, sometimes even in those games, you see that all the time, that team doesn't win. The Elks – it's unable to do it. The Elkettes, though, went to Bethany and got a win, 2-1. So Elk City girls continue on to the second round of the playoffs. They're going to play Woodward tomorrow night in Woodward. 7:30 is the start time for that. Gabe will be up there on BigElkTV.com for that second round matchup with Woodward. Those two teams played what's going to literally be a month ago for tomorrow. Hmm. And it was a 2-1 Woodward win in overtime. So, you know, pretty evenly matched teams. Woodward won the division, or the division, the district, that Elk City and Clinton and Woodward, they were all right there at the top. Woodward won the district. So they'll host tomorrow night, 7:30, BigElkTV.com, girls soccer. And there's going to be a couple of the girls who are going to have a long day. Cam and Lily will play the first round of the state tournament on the golf course in Cushing and buzz up to Woodward to play in the soccer playoff. So that'll be fun. So congrats to the girls, and then yeah,
buzz back
for the second round of the golf.
Somewhere in there.
Congrats to the girls' soccer team from Elk City. Slow pitch softball results from yesterday. We had a couple of schools in the smaller schools' state tournaments. In Class A, Caney knocked off Arnett in the first round, 7-3. Lakeba Sickles beat LaFleur 12-7. Lakeba Sickles then beat Caney 6-5. So the Lady Panthers played for the state title, unable to get it done as Turner knocked them out 7-3. So the Lakeba Sickles Lady Panthers, state runner-up in slow pitch softball in Class A. Class 2A, Bingeroni knocked out Hydro Weekly to start 15-4. Bennington eliminated Navajo 12-7. Caddo ends up being the state champ there, beating Ripley 18-8 in the final. Some of the larger classes didn't get going. You know, 4A, 5A, I know they didn't play with weather and that kind of stuff. So they're kind of on hold as far as when that'll be able to get played with the rain up there in the city today, tomorrow. You know, maybe it's tomorrow afternoon before they can get that thing started. But that's where the slow pitch got to. We talked all day about the girls' golf at Cushing for 4A with Elk City and Weatherford being there. And they made the decision, rightfully so, because it'd be a mess trying to get out there right now with all the storms moving through that area as we speak. And so the decision was made, and obviously Buffalo Rock didn't have anything going on Friday that would prevent this. So the tournament now is going to just switch days. It's going to be delayed today. They're going to try to tee off tomorrow and then play Thursday and Friday in the 4A girls state golf tournament. So that circumstances were obviously ripe for that to happen with nothing going on Friday up there at Cushing. So, you know, that opens up the possibility, even if things go wrong today and there's so much rain and, you know, even, tomorrow, it does open up the possibility to play one round on Friday. So hopefully they can play tomorrow and Friday. But that at least kind of – I was trying to figure out what is going to happen if they don't move it. Yeah. Are they just not going to have a tournament? You know, play one hole? What in the world are the possibilities? So that moving that to Thursday and Friday at least should guarantee one round gets finished.
I would
between
think so.
Thursday afternoon and Friday looks pretty good. So
Friday looks gorgeous.
That's
and
right.
Thursday,
you know, even if you can't play the full 36 because you can't start tomorrow when you want
could
to
be possible, like 9-9 or 9-9.
Well,
how would that work?
I think what they'll do, they'll start out. I know Elk City has changed their tee time has changed from that second wave to the first wave of teams because of the soccer. They were able to get into that first group of teams starting at 9 o'clock to hopefully get finished, and then you know Cam and Lily can rush up there to Woodward from Cushing. I think if there's delays starting out tomorrow, I think what you'll see is instead of having the tee times, I think you'll see a shotgun start. So let's say it's delayed an hour till 10. Everybody, they'll just shotgun it, is what I think will happen in order to try to get it in. Instead of, you know, the first group starting at 10 and then all of a sudden you've got tee times ranging into the noon hour, I think they'll just send everybody out, shotgun the thing. That way, you know, you have a better chance of getting finished Thursday. And then, of course, like you said, Friday probably goes back to normal with the tee times because it's supposed to be gorgeous. So that would be that's how I would anticipate that working up there in that state tournament at Cushing for the 4A girls. Then tomorrow, also, man, tomorrow's a busy day. On Big Elk TV, you're going to have golf updates. You're going to have girls soccer at 7:30. Also, the baseball regional, which Jay's going to come in here and talk about here in just a little bit. We got the regional tournament here at Elk City in 4A that consists of the obviously the Elks 24-9 district 4 winners coming out here. Mount St. Mary's will be the Elks' first opponent. They finished fourth in District 1 at 15-13. So it's Elk City and Mount St. Mary's at 11 o'clock first, followed by the second team out of District 2, which is the Bing Pirates 20-6. Bing is one of those teams that's around all the time. A familiar face, a familiar name to these parts is at the helm of that Bing program. Coach Sean Streeter will be out here with his Bing Pirates. They'll take on Lone Grove, who was the third team out of District 3, 25-9. So it's Elk City, Mount St. Mary's at 11, Bing and Lone Grove at 1:30, followed by the winners at 4, and then the losers will play at 6:30. Then I do know that the Friday games have been changed time-wise. That first game on Friday will be at 1 o'clock, and the second game on Friday will be at 3:30. Possibility that could that if necessary game could be changed as well. I think it's originally scheduled for 2. I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't get moved up a little bit as well, if that game has to happen. So that's the regional here. I know Clinton is down. Gosh, where are they at? They're at Blanchard.
Blanchard, yeah.
Do they play Newcastle?
They have.
Or does Weatherford play? Weatherford plays Newcastle down at Marlow.
I know. I think the way it looked, Blanchard obviously the 1 seed, Clinton the 2. Let me look at this. It's slowly loading for me.
Yeah, I had it pulled up and then I changed pages. I've got it right here. Who do they?
The Cash?
Maybe Cash.
No, it's Hera.
Hera. That's
and they've
right.
had some game times change too.
Yeah, you got noon for Blanchard and Cash, 2:15 for Hera and Clinton. Winners will play at 4:30. The losers will play at 6:45. So, yeah, so that's about an hour. And maybe they've actually cut the times at 2:15 instead of 2:30 in between, which that, to me, sets up for being wrong, quite frankly. Weatherford and Newcastle will play at 1:30 tomorrow down in Marlow. Obviously, all of this is subject to change. The further south you go today, the better chance you probably have of not playing tomorrow, or at least being delayed tomorrow, because weather looks like I-40 and south from the Texas state line out west all the way, geez, clear to Arkansas maybe, in southern Oklahoma, northwest Texas, northern Texas there. You better be weather aware, obviously, here too as well. It feels like I-40 and south is kind of there could be something a little bit north as well earlier, but we'll have it covered for you on all the Paragon family of networks as the weather starts to get a little bit bumpy this afternoon. We'll certainly be on top of that, but it's hard to you see those times, but to me, the natural inclination for that for that stuff tomorrow is, yeah, those times are useless. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there's no way they're really going to play at 11 o'clock in the morning at Blanchard or Marlow.
Yeah, just I guess we could do our best to keep it updated. We'll know more, but probably a clearer picture tomorrow.
Yeah,
when we get in here.
Yeah, I think by the time we get in
here, we're okay in Elk City.
I mean,
you tomorrow about 11 o'clock?
Well, what would it have to do?
I mean, outside of a straight up downpour,
I don't even think that matters. I think it'd have to be lightning.
Lightning and hail.
By the way, those times have been changed for Saturday here.
Okay.
1 o'clock will be that if necessary game on Saturday.
All right.
I had a feeling it was going to at least an hour earlier.
Gotcha.
And that will be the case. So 11 and 1:30 tomorrow, 4 and 6:30 tomorrow. And then on Friday, 1 o'clock and 3:30, the if necessary game Saturday would be 1 o'clock. So that's a little bit different from the original bracket that was released by the OSSAA. Oh, man. You know it's good when, I mean, we got a guy that's in uniform coming into the studio. Joined now by the head coach of the Elk City baseball team in his inaugural season at the helm of the Brown and White. It is Coach Jay McClure. Jay Mack, how are you?
Doing good, Skin. How you doing?
Doing very well. Glad, you know, it wasn't as hard to get you down here as what I thought. I was afraid we might have to forcefully remove you from a classroom and bring you down here, but instead we just ask and here you came.
Well, I've been putting it off as long as I could, so.
Yeah, I think Hunt wanted you in here this time a year ago, and so it's just a year delayed. Let's talk about that.
Win a district title, you got to get in here. That's
the way it kind of goes.
I guess so.
There you go.
A year ago this time, you know, everybody knew Monty was going to be done and going into the administration. You've been here since 05 at that point as an assistant. Why was this the time that you wanted to, you know, throw your hat in the ring and then take over the Elk City baseball program?
You know, I just felt it was the right time to do it. I figured if I was ever going to do it, this would be the time. You know, we had some good kids coming back. My family was on board with it, so just went ahead and pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, how much does, you know, at home, Kim giving you the okay, that's got to be probably one of the first people you ask, like, hey, can I do this, or how's that working?
Right, when I first kind of decided I was going to apply for it, she was the first person I talked to. If she wasn't on board, I wasn't going to do it.
How much more goes through your mind during a baseball game, being the head coach versus sitting on the bucket being an assistant?
It's not even close. As an assistant, you know, you're kind of worried about your one particular job. As a head coach, you're worried about 100% of it. So for me, it's been a big adjustment. There's been games I've been so nervous I thought I was going to lose it on the bench. But, you know, I've got some great assistants, and I don't have to worry about them doing their jobs, and it makes my job a lot easier.
Well, the players make your job a lot easier, too. Talk about them. You got a special one hurling the ball. But talk about him and the rest of your guys and how they've looked this year.
You know, we've got a great senior group. They've been successful in pretty much everything they've done this year, and that's a huge help for me as a first-year coach. You know, I don't have to worry about discipline for the most part. The seniors kind of handle all that stuff, so I don't have to worry about much of that. And then you referred to Cash Mayfield. You know, he's kind of our big guy on the mound. And when he's on the mound, you know, our guys play looser. They don't have to make as many plays, obviously. He strikes out a little over two an inning. So our kids relax more. They play loose and free when Cash is on the mound, and, you know, that's a big key for us as well.
I'd be so shocked if I was playing behind him and the ball was actually hit to me. That's how loose I think I'd be.
I think that's got us a few times in a couple of games. He's striking people out left and right, and they finally put one in play, and it kind of catches us off guard sometimes.
Not only obviously Cash, as everybody knows about him, who else have been your main arms throughout the season that have helped you guys get to the spot?
Up to this point, you know, we've got Cooper Church coming back from last year. He's done a tremendous job for us. Kind of after spring break is when he finally kind of got back into the groove of it a little bit. He's done a great job for us. Matt Bales, you know, Matt beat Tuttle the other night. You know, he just gets up there, he throws strikes and gets outs. We've lost Harrison Mayfield. He was one of our main guys coming into the year, and he's got a partially torn UCL, so he's out for the remainder of the year. And we've had other guys, Jaden Kranick, step up, and he's done a great job. Kai Keys, Corey Culver. We've had a lot of arms throw a lot of innings this year, which is good.
Yeah, how much will that help you? You know, when you got the new pitching rules that weren't really in place back when you played, you know, how much different is that trying to figure out, okay, when you set up your pitching staff for the week, you know, obviously cash is there, but it's kind of a catch-22 because, you know, you'd hate to lose without him out there, but also you know you've got to have him at a certain point later on in this regional.
Right, and kind of through the season with the district games now, it kind of sets it up to where we know who our Monday, Tuesday guys are, and then we can kind of throughout the week, Coach Fisher kind of figures out who he's going to throw in tournament games or non-district games, and that's really helped us move forward into the regional here with who we're going to throw what games and who we got in relief and all that stuff.
Played a tough schedule. You started out 4-0, then went down to Alabama, and there was a lot of teams there, really high quality. That should help, you know, throughout this week and hopefully next week as well.
Yeah, you know, down in Alabama, we saw four arms that were at least low to mid-80s. We saw one hit 90 a few times. So after that, our kids, I mean, there's nothing much anybody can throw at us that we haven't seen at this point. So, you know, tough schedule going into it. I knew we had a chance to be pretty good, so I kind of wanted to load the schedule up a little bit for that reason right there, exactly, going into the regional. You know, nobody can throw something at us that we haven't seen yet.
Well, speaking of this regional, it looks to me, we all know about Elk City and Bing. Bing and baseball go hand in hand. Tell us about these other teams, Mount St. Mary, your opponent on Thursday, and Lone Grove, and what can fans expect?
From everybody I've talked to about Mount St. Mary's, they got a couple of arms on the mound that are pretty good, and everybody I talked to said they can swing it. So we've got to be on our toes. Pitchers got to throw strikes, and we got to make plays behind them. Lone Grove, kind of the same stuff there. They got a couple guys on the mound that can go. From everybody I've talked to, again, they said they can swing it. So we've got to be ready to go.
You guys kind of out of Alabama and then over at Weatherford, you know, the tournament, but then coming out of the Piedmont tournament, 15 of 17 from there, swept the other three teams in the district that have made it into a regional. What clicked?
Well, after the Piedmont tournament, one of the games in Piedmont, we had probably our worst outing of the year, and we had a little team meeting after that one on the bus, and we just kind of laid it all out there for them, and to the kids' credit, they accepted it, and they got better. We did some different things in practice to work on stuff we needed to work on, and the kids really ran with it. It was all them. You know, I had very little to do with it.
When you say that, was it just you know, at the plate, in the field, on the mound, everything encompassing, or was there a certain thing that were kind of holding you guys back early on in the season that's not doing that right now?
Early on in the season, our bats were kind of behind everybody else. The pitching's been great all year. Coach Fisher's done a tremendous job with those guys. Early on, our sticks weren't there, and that's usually the case in baseball. Your offense is the last thing that's going to come around. And we started doing some different drills that we hadn't worked on, and the kids really picked up on it, and I think that's been kind of the key to our success.
The sticks came around. I'm looking at scores, one that stands out. And, you know, when we talk to other coaches in other sports, we always go to at what point – you kind of asked that question, Aaron, at what point during the season turned it around. That Clinton game stands out, that one, 26 to, where you won 26-2. Was that kind of a turning point for your guys? Obviously – key district game, but moving forward, knowing, man, we can swing it and we can hit it.
Right. Clinton's always going to be Clinton. Coach Gaunt, you know, he's one of the guys in baseball that I respect probably the most. And to go out and do that to Clinton, you know, that doesn't happen very often. And I think once our guys saw what they were capable of doing there, everything just kind of clicked for them.
Talk about some of the guys that hit. You know, it starts with Drake at the top of the lineup. Not only his ability to hit the ball, but once he's on base, causing havoc for the guys behind him. But it seems like looking, you know, at certain games and certain wins, it hasn't just been a core two or three. It feels like you're getting contributions all the way up and down the lineup.
Right. There's been games where our top four or five aren't hitting very well, and the bottom half of the lineup comes around that game, and they carry us. And there's games where the bottom half's not carrying us, and the top half's doing the work, which it's good to see. You know, if we can ever get all nine of them at the same time, and that's kind of what happened in the Clinton game. Everybody just kind of swinging the bats really well. But it's nice to see you don't have to rely on one person or two or three people. The whole every nine of them can swing it.
All right, so 11 o'clock tomorrow. This is your chance to kind of plea to the fans. Get out and support.
We're pleading to the bosses to let us off work. Right?
That's right.
Can we get a hall pass
here? I mean, it's the first time since 2002 that we've hosted a baseball regional. Ironically,
I was there.
Jared was there, and I think the last guy that was the head coach at that time will be here, except wearing a different uniform. But it's going to be a fun weekend, and it's something that we quite frankly haven't seen in a while. Everybody needs to be out there and make this an awesome home field advantage for your Elks this week.
Right. If you can get out to the field this week, Thursday, Friday, and if game Saturday, you know, I'd love to see Ackley Park packed this week. The kids feed off the energy in the stands. So just get out there and support these guys.
Oh, bud, congratulations. Thanks for coming. Good luck. There'd be nothing better than seeing that brown and white next Thursday in a bracket up wherever that state tournament might be.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Head coach Jay McClure of the Elk City Elks baseball team hosting the regional tournament for the first time since 2002. They will throw the first pitch at 11 o'clock in the morning against Mount St. Mary. Being in Lone Grove will follow at 1:30. The winners play at 4, losers play at 6:30. So a couple wins tomorrow for the Elks have them in nice shape to make the first state tournament appearance since 2004.
And Elk City games on Big Elk TV?
That's right, Big Elk TV, 11 o'clock, and then hopefully a 4 o'clock game, and we'll see what happens after that. But, yeah, for sure, Big Elk TV.
And then off on Saturday, we'll have right?
It. Off on Saturday, sure. So I can go to Obrate. How about that?
There you go. No
it's
pressure,
up to you,
Coach.
Max.
You're going to ruin his weekend. Come on.
Hey, moving that game up to 1 o'clock, we can get there anyway.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back. Talk about that. Some NIL stuff. Maybe we can get him to hang around and see what he thinks about the transfer portal and his boy.
He's over on the words, so I win whatever we bet.
Way over. Thanks again to Jay McClure of the Elk City Baseball Program, head coach of the Elks, stopping by, talking about the season so far and looking ahead to the regional tomorrow. You know, it's been a fun year. It's been a year that we haven't seen in a while. You know, the Elks have been consistently in the regional tournament for the past, 5 or 6 years, since Quint came back, to take over the program a few years ago. Consistently there, I don't know how good a chance, you know, they really had at advancing. It was one of those teams that could kind of put a scare in you, but not necessarily, you know, built and ready to go to get through a regional. This team is, and, you know, they've really caught their stride. 15-17 wins coming out of that tournament at Piedmont, and their district schedule was backloaded with Kingfisher, with Weatherford, with Clinton, all after that tournament up there at Piedmont and Kingfisher, and the Elks really kind of stamped the brown and white on this district after coming out of that tournament.
Yeah, they're you know, it was Coach McClure's first year, and I was just thinking, man, I mean, it's such a great year. Is he setting the bar too high? And I don't think so.
Well,
I think what's been established before he got here, he's taken it over in a smooth transition because he's been obviously in the program for a very long time. And I think it will continue. This is exciting times for Oak City baseball.
Listen, he won't say it. I will. This could be the worst team for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
With every, you know, I think there was a little bit of a lull at times, you know, golly, probably 15 years ago now, looking back, where, you know, the strength of youth baseball in the town kind of wavered a little bit, and you saw it up in the high school ranks, right, with guys that didn't grow up playing. That's not the case now. You know, we talked about it on the bi-district day. You look at the success that some Elk City teams have had in the summertime, starting with those guys that are freshmen right now with Cole and Catch and that group as a state tournament winner in OK Kids. The group right behind them that are, probably seventh graders now, they did the same thing. The one summer they both won.
Yeah.
Two summers ago or three or whatever that was. So you're talking about ninth graders, seventh graders. You know, his son Curry's team, they played for the state title last year as peewees, as 10Us, which are now fifth graders. So you've got them stacked in there, groups that have had tons of success throughout the summertime, and that's just a testament to a lot of guys getting back in it. And you know what else you see? You see a lot of those guys that have gotten back in it from the youth level. You know what they were?
What's that?
Alumni of the Big Elk baseball
program.
You know, you got Denny and Jared and Jory and Jay himself.
Jay.
You know, a lot of those guys, Brandon Embry is another one, that are back involved with, you know, the youth stuff that leads to the high school stuff. So, yeah, it's things are looking bright. You know, couldn't have been a better time for Jay to take the reins of the program. And man, a lot of excitement around that baseball program. Not only this week, but then also looking forward to the next few years and down the line. There's a lot coming for Elk City baseball. It's just kind of the rebirth of it, because when I started looking back, you know, in the 90s, starting, you know, when Coach Nichols was first here, you know, 94, 95, 90, 98, I think, the three state tournaments in a five-year period, then 02 and 04, and nothing since then. And so, you know, a run like that is very, very possible coming up here over the next decade or so.
Yeah, it's very exciting, very exciting. I was talking about, you know, the turning point of the season. I mentioned the Clinton game, but the Tuttle game, I know it was late in the year. It was, meaningless. It didn't mean anything as far as district standings. It was a non-district game, but it's one of the better teams in the state, that being Tuttle, and with how they went there and won, that could be a turning point type game as well, knowing that, they get through this region and say they're matched up with a Tuttle or with a Blanchard or with a whoever. We know if we get the bats moving at the right time and get the best pitching that we can get, there's always an opportunity. So not only exciting for the future of Elk City baseball, but the immediate future. It is very cool, very exciting.
Well, and with Cash on the hill,
he's going to give you a chance to win every time.
Anybody. Yeah. Doesn't matter who you're playing.
Yeah.
You have that guy out there, absolutely. You know, that he'll give you a chance to beat anybody in the state at any point in any game. And then from there, you see what you can do. But looking ahead, yeah, that Tuttle, that would be the possibility of a semifinal.
Okay. With the quarter being against
Region 5. You have that pulled up?
Efforting?
Oh, I've got it right here.
How do you know if it's 5, just in the order of things?
I think so.
2, 3.
Oh, that's not right.
Berry Hill, Poto, Hilldale, Pryor. You don't think that's right?
I don't know.
Well, I would guess, even though it's at Pryor,
That's a team Elk City's
burritos
played.
Burritos on Berry Hill.
That's a team Elk City's played Pryor. They played them down in Bama. How weird is that?
How ironic.
It was like 5-3.
Wow.
Close game. But anyhow, a lot of fun stuff.
Pryor, and then, traditionally a 5-8.
Yeah.
I guess they dropped down to 4-8.
We've got that tomorrow. We've also got Canute. We talked to Coach Gillette yesterday as the Trojans and Hydra Weekly 1:30 in the Class A baseball tournament.
We'll see.
Yeah.
With the rain possibilities there. I was just on the horn with the mom and arranging, because what I've seen it might be as simple as taking a stream and throwing it on Paragon. It is approved, but as far as the timing, we don't know, because the rain possibilities have kind of went up, and it could all be delayed and they could be playing till dang near 11 o'clock, or this all could be pushed back today. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's going to be interesting to see what does happen.
You want everybody to be fair. You don't want someone to play at 11 and then turn around and have to play. I'd have to look at the bracket of the timing, but you know what I mean?
11 and 1:30 are the Friday times.
Semis.
Yep, and then noon for Saturday, which that gives you tons of wiggle room time-wise.
Sure does. I mean, they could push it back to 1:30 and 3 or 4. I mean, for Friday, if you need to give teams more time to rest.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Well, like I said, we'll do our best to keep you updated.
I do know this.
What you got?
Maybe the only baseball that's played tomorrow will be right here.
I'm telling you.
Oh, goodness. All right, the NIL. I didn't get to it yesterday. So you think these things go hand in hand, the NIL and the transfer portal?
There needs to be a little bit. It just feels like Wild West – and I know it's been equated to free agency in at the college level with NIL deals. I think what a little bit what we're seeing is what I kind of feared, is the large markets are going to be the haves and the small markets are going to be the have-nots. But I think that, but with anything new, there comes in time more regulation, if that makes sense. Like, okay, we're going to do this now, and oh wait, it needs to be tweaked. We got to adjust this. We got to adjust that. But it's going to take a lot of tweaking to still keep it fair and you know, and everybody happy too, because it's hard to fault a kid who wants to make the most money that he can. I mean, I would hate it to be told, hey, you can't make that much money. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but it's hard to. But
that is for so few of these guys, though.
I know.
The problem is the portal.
Yeah.
The portal is way bigger issue than what the NIL is, in my mind. Because here's the thing. You hear of all this stuff. You hear these giant. Is anybody really getting paid? I mean, I'm serious. Like, is anybody really getting this money that we know of? I don't know that you hear all these figures thrown around.
Yeah.
But is it really happening? Whereas, you know, these guys are switching schools. I mean, the thing, this isn't, I really kind of had this more football centered, but what happened in Miami last week was ridiculous.
Help me out.
So Nigel Pack from Kansas State chooses to enter the portal, and supposedly he's getting $800,000 for 2 years to go to Miami. So what happens at Miami? Isaiah Wong, the guy that we all saw in the tournament, play very well.
We're talking basketball.
Basketball.
For those.
He says, well,
if I'm not getting that.
If I'm not getting paid, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But see, here's the problem.
And I had that fear, too, about internal strife in the locker room. And Jim's always talked about that.
I don't think there's any doubt that what started at OU last year here's what it's creating. It's creating professional-type athletes still in the college game. There's no doubt in my mind that in that West Virginia game, when you started hearing the Caleb Williams chant, stemmed from those students or those fans mad because Rattler wasn't honoring his contract with his play.
Well, he got two cards out of his deal.
That's right. Wait a minute. This guy's supposed to be the Heisman winner, and he's getting all this money.
This guy
Where's
is
the play?
Rolling up in these cars to mm-hmm. practice, and we thank class, who knows. But and then, you know, walking around big man on campus, and then you're doing this? Yeah, I could see that's where the frustration came from. Absolutely.
I don't think there's any doubt. And
then it was there.
What about in the locker room?
That's where I was going. Was there frustration in the locker room? Did there was all those rumors that he'd lost the locker room, he lost the players. I mean, it
wasn't just him, though.
It creates issues. And we never really talked about the one Oklahoma thing. Do you think that, I mean, you can guarantee a player up to, what, $50,000? Was that what it was?
Something like that.
Something like
everybody.
That. Everybody.
It was supposed to be football, basketball, and softball.
Softball.
So far.
Does that.
But is
sure
that money. But
that,
the whole thing is that money really there already? Or is that money that has to be raised to meet that goal?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you would just throw out $50,000 without knowing that you couldn't get it, that you could get it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just like anything of this. I mean. You see back in the recruiting time that all the guys that signed at Texas got $50,000 along the offensive line. Guess what? Nobody's got any money.
They never got it?
Not so far.
Hmm.
So that's what I mean.
Well, thank God for the portal. They just get out of there.
Well, and that's where it kind of goes hand to hand, I guess. If you get promised this money, you don't get it. But to me, it's the portal and the movement. It wasn't, you know, you think back all the way to like Russell Wilson. One of the first grad transfers that made an impact, right, as far as major college football.
Right.
When he left NC State, went to Wisconsin. You can understand, or I can understand, the idea of that. This guy honored what he signed up for, meaning he played and he went to class and he got a degree. You know what? If he still has a chance to, if he still has a year, let him go. He can go where he can go wherever he wants.
Absolutely,
because he honored the contract that he was set forth in signing back when he did that 4 years before that.
Don't have a problem with that at all.
I don't either. But the problem is that opened up this can of worms.
Yeah,
and so I don't know if it's even possible to get it back in there. But see, this is one of those, you know, everybody's screaming, pay the players, pay the players, pay the players. You don't think of the unintended consequences, and we're seeing it live in front of us right now.
Yeah.
And also, because the NCAA was so spineless in trying to make a decision, the Supreme Court did it for them, and they weren't ready for it. And so now you have an NCAA trying to figure out how to pull the reins on this thing that the Supreme Court opened up, and everybody's just taking advantage of it left and right. I mean, it just happens to be the guy that left here, but my God, what Lincoln Riley's doing is ridiculous. It should not be legal. I mean, he's literally offering other teams' players, supposedly, millions of bucks.
Right.
He offered Xavier Worthy from Texas. I mean, that's not what this is. You can't do that in any sport. It's called tampering. I mean, if you do that in the NBA, they take your picks away. Or in the NFL, they take your draft picks away. But there's no rules. That's the problem. He's not breaking any rules because there's none there. You're just living by an ethical code at this point, and we all know he damn sure don't have one of those.
Oh, no.
So, you know, there's the school of thought of, well, he's just taking advantage of the lack of – sure he is. Some people do it. Some people won't. He clearly will. Is this going to be the catalyst of football not under the NCAA umbrella?
Well, what news came out yesterday? Ohio State Chancellor saying wants to break away from the NCAA and be more under the regulation body of the College Football Playoff, I guess, committee or whatever that may be. And what regulation is that? You know what I mean? I haven't looked into what kind of rules or whatever. But, yeah, I can see this is – I mean, we've seen the light at this tunnel, end of this tunnel a long time ago with the end of the NCAA in college football. This could go that way, absolutely.
How about this? One, Bob Stoops. We need a new leadership group. The NCAA and the way it has been has really failed overall. I don't know who goes by any rules anymore. And how can they enforce it? And how they enforce it just seems so ambiguous.
Well said.
That's right.
It's absolutely right.
Suggestion on the text line. This is interesting because it's...
I mean, it goes to the basketball thing with OSU.
Listen.
In Kansas. I mean,
you know who's in trouble?
Who's that?
OU basketball.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now, OU in basketball is in huge trouble if nothing changes. And you can just transfer willy-nilly at the end of the year every year because look what's happened in the last 2 years. What, their best four players are gone? Best two this year. See ya.
Well, one guy, he left 2 years ago, went to Oregon. Now he's over at Texas Tech.
Now he's at Tech. Yeah.
Oh, where's it going to be next year?
Well, but they can go wherever they want to.
But that's yeah.
But if you're Oklahoma and you can't get anybody to go to the games – even if you have guys that want to be there, they're looking around going, wait a minute. Brady Manning just went to North Carolina and played for a title. That ain't happening here.
Exactly.
I can't even get four guys to watch me.
Somebody asked me about that. Said, hey, Brady Manning, you're in for North Carolina. I said, listen, my fear is if North Carolina goes and wins this thing, and this was way back before they even got to the Final Four, so it just shows the rest of these players, OU, hey, I can go here, sharpen up my game a little bit, and then go to one of these other schools.
That's right, because all the advantages that Oklahoma enjoys on the football part of this, they don't enjoy on the basketball part of this.
Right.
They aren't. You know, they are North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky in football. They aren't in basketball, even though they're way better than people realize. But this is where the lack of fan support is going to kill that program. Because when you got guys that are even, you know, the level that they are now. We're not talking about super. This isn't Blake Griffin. This isn't Trey Young. It isn't Buddy. These are just pretty good players that are using Oklahoma or have used Oklahoma as a stepping stone. Think of it. Brady Bennett grew up in Hera. It's hard to imagine more loyalty to OU than that guy would possibly have. But he saw the writing on the wall going, wait a minute, this is okay and I can go there? Why the hell not?
Yeah.
And he did, and that success, not just for OU's detriment, but a whole bunch of other places, it's going to be the same way. And so, you know, it's kind of ironic because it feels like the Sooners and you know, some other programs will be all for some of this in football, but it's going to kill their basketball.
Absolutely.
So here's this is an interesting idea. What about if you transfer, you have to give up a year of eligibility instead of sitting out for a year? It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, you want to play immediately, but you give up a year.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's another can of worms because.
So like Devion Harmon, played here as a freshman. He transferred to Oregon after one, but that would make him a junior. Now he transfers back. He's done after this year because that would be five.
But some would say that would hamper the possibility of a player being ready for the next level.
Who cares?
You see what I'm saying?
Then don't do it.
Then don't do it. Yeah, I see that. Okay. Well, I'm on board with that.
Because that eliminates setting out. You don't have to set out. But also, there's some sort of penalty for doing this.
Yeah. Scouts can go, you know, he needed another year, but he chose to move.
Well, and the truth of it is, anymore, you can just, if you can go to the G League.
Yeah. Now, looking on the football side, though, where do you go, XFL?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the football isn't as hampered by this as what it looks like basketball is. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not seeing. It doesn't feel like it's gotten to that level yet.
It feels like it's on the way, though.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the I cannot remember any time in the history of college football this much movement in the off season with players and shoot, even coaches. It's just only going to get worse unless something is done about it. Unless there's more, I don't want to say stringent regulations.
Well, there's got to be some regulation.
Something's got to be. It's just wide open. It reminds me of when the Oklahoma lawmakers passed the, it's like, okay, medical marijuana. Well, there's no laws with it. And it went crazy.
And now guess what? Whole bunch of them are drying up because there's too many.
Yeah.
Well, and you look in the portal. If you can actually look in the portal, there's thousands of dudes that are just chilling in the portal. They ain't going nowhere.
That's true.
You know, they left.
Yeah.
Couldn't find a spot. So now what are they doing? But see, you don't hear about that. You don't hear about that. And here's another thing that's not helping is recruiting of the high school athletes. Because if you're a coach and you're looking around, okay, man, we need, you know, we're pretty good, but God, we could use, say, like a right guard and a left tackle. And you have two scholarships to use. Are you recruiting the guy that's going to be a freshman coming in from high school? Or are you looking around going, that guy was pretty good at name the small school. He's in the portal. Bring him in. Because he can have immediate success. Help you have immediate success. And then you're left with these guys that were recruitable athletes 10 years ago out of the high school ranks. They ain't got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, the can of worms for the pay the player group. Which they don't care, because that's the way that works a lot of times. They don't care about what kind of wreckage it was going to cause.
That group, they weren't fans of the game.
That's right.
They're not going to games. They're not watching these games. They're not a part of that. It's over here, if you can see my left hand.
Yeah, you had your left hand up.
Yeah.
Wonder why. Mm. It's interesting.
It is interesting. I think with the player from Pitt, the attempted recruitment of Worthy from Texas, it is – there's a lot of alarms going off. A lot of red flags went up. And, you know, I didn't hear about the Stoops quote until just now. There is – that's the beginning of a movement, if you will, of change. Is it going to be immediate? Absolutely not. But I think we will start seeing more. Okay, wait. We need more regulations. We need more pushback on this. We gotta. You know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. But gotta do something about it.
Yeah, and what?
Because before this week, really. Here it is, only Wednesday. You hadn't heard much about officials saying, well, we need to take a look at this. You've seen a little bit more of that this week. A little bit.
Yeah, and the question is, which officials? Because if you're, you know, the NCAA doesn't have a president right now, Emmert's gone. If I'm, you know, Greg Sankey, Kevin, what's his name? I can't remember. Big Ten Commissioner Warren, Kevin Warren, mm-hmm. The new guy out west. How do you not? Of course, you can't even come together to increase the playoff teams and expand that.
That's a good point.
So, how are you going to come to an agreement on how to police this stuff? You're not going to.
Right.
And so, you know, is this the chance for, say, the SEC to go, okay, we're the biggest, we're the baddest, we've got these two coming with Oklahoma and Texas. That'll make us 14. Give us 10 more, and that's good enough. We'll play 24. We'll have our own. We'll figure it out our own way. Four, you know, however that works. But 24, maybe even 32. Who's in? Ohio State, Michigan, you guys really going to sit up there and play the Rose Bowl for nothing? Or are you going to come down here and be with us? And then we will create the set of rules to play by so that it's everybody is playing by that same set of rules. Screw the NCAA. Screw the playoff people. We don't care about them. This is ours in football. We'll do it ourselves. If nobody else can do it right, we'll do it ourselves. We'll end up with 32 of you. We'll have four 8-team divisions. Whoever wins those, we'll play a 4-team playoff because nobody else is good enough to be down here anyway. So let's go.
And I think that's coming too.
I think that's what's going to happen.
With the SEC. Yeah.
Because they're not going to sit idly by and watch somebody else screw it up when they have the ability to fix it on their own.
Yeah.
In my mind. And all of a sudden, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, you know, you can see who's coming. You know, and here's the thing. If those overtures are starting to be made or do start to be made, you better find a seat.
Yeah. You don't want to be
standing when the musical chairs stop.
Right.
And so if that does happen, that forces the timeline and some pretty tough decisions for some of these. You know, in my mind, Oklahoma State comes screaming to mind. There is no doubt they're one of the top 32 football programs in America, have been, ever since Gundy's been there. There's no doubt they're in that group. Do they make that leap? I believe they will. I think the change in regime up there over the past year and a half has kind of lended itself more toward the football side of things. And so I think they would be ready to pounce and go. Here we go. We're making the move. Now, does that affect anything else? Probably not. This is just a football-only, really, conversation. But I think that's, you know, that's always been kind of that kind of off-in-the-distance thought. Objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear with what's happened this week and really kind of bringing it all up to a head. And with the playoff expansion seemingly in limbo or even kind of being filibustered, tabled. Greg Sankey's no idiot.
Oh, no.
And I think, watch out. Between now and kickoff of the college football season, could be a lot like it was last summer.
Yeah.
With regards to change coming in college football.
Yeah.
And maybe at the end of the day, the NIL and the transfer portal being wide open, maybe that spurs it on faster than we ever could have imagined. But it's coming, because it's not going to look in 2025, when all this stuff is supposed to happen, the grant of rights and all that, college football ain't going to look like it does now.
No, it's not.
It's not going to look anything near like it does now, because the NCAA is done. And I think the member schools realize it, at least. And so now what do you do?
Yeah, I think it's wild. This past week, this summer could be, not with transfer portal stuff, but everything you said.
Just a total rearranging of college football.
Yeah.
And what it is and what it's going to be. And I think both schools in this state will be all for it and right there involved in the whole thing. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.